Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to the Metroplex Sports Update, Week 4. We want to start with, well, first of all, let us say that we want to say we send our prayers, thoughts and prayers to the southwest region of Florida. They were hit with a bad hurricane this past weekend. And areas of southwest Florida, including Fort Myers, were really devastated. The beach area there, I've seen photos of it. So we hope everything there is okay. Obviously it's not, but if you'd like to help out or send money, there's plenty of resources to do that. We'll try to get some information on that that we can send along. So today we're going to discuss what's going on in the Metroplex sports-wise. Let us start off with the Dallas Cowboys, of course. They continue to win with Cooper Rush at quarterback and, of course, their excellent defense and special teams. So can they continue their winning streak? This past week, they defeated the Washington Commanders 25-10 at home to improve their record to 3-1. The Cowboys are currently tied with the Giants for second place in the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles are undefeated at 4-0 right now, at 4-0. Cowboys and Giants are both 3-1. Cowboys would probably be technically second there because they defeated the Giants head-to-head the previous week. And the Commanders dropped to 1-3. And the game was very much like the previous two games. The Cowboys offense playing a very conservative ball control offense at times. And the defense playing great again. They had two more sacks, but there were several pressures on Washington quarterback Carson Wentz. There must have been at least 20 on him. So he simply did not have time to throw the ball deep. And when he did, Trevon Diggs was all over his receivers, either intercepting or knocking the ball away. So needless to say, the Cowboys defense has played a huge role in the success of the team thus far, along with the special teams. Brett Maher is having an outstanding year at kicker. Kamonte Turpin made some good plays, but the good thing is they played very solid on defense and special teams, and you need to have at least two phases of your team working. The offense has played well. They scored two touchdowns and four field goals in the game. Obviously, they're not putting up a ton of points the past three games, and they haven't had to. So I think the big question is, can they continue their winning streak? I would say it's possible, but the margin for error is getting smaller as the competition gets better. Now, on the player front, Michael Gallup came back this past week. He caught a touchdown pass, and he made a couple of other impressive catches in the game. From what I remember, a big first down conversion in the game. So having Gallup back on the offense helped stretch the field, and then you can have move Noah Brown over to the free receiver. And then C.D. Lamb came through with a touchdown, another touchdown this past game. So those three guys, those three receivers can really stretch the field now. And then Dalton Schultz was back as well. He didn't believe he had any receptions. So with Schultz, the tight end, and then the other two backup tight ends contributing, the passing game is starting to look a little more explosive, as well as the offensive line is looking solid as well. McGovern has returned to the lineup at guard. So the team's getting healthier, although their long snapper, Jake McQuaid, is out for the season, and that's going to be hopefully that won't be an issue for them. Special teams, like I said, has been very solid. And that's a position that you really need to be solid as long snapper, a very important position that goes unnoticed by most teams and really by the fans. So hopefully there's definitely some successful continuity there. Now, the reports on Dak Prescott, he wants to play in the game this week against the Rams. Last I heard, and let's get some news on this. Last I heard, he was unable to grip a football properly. So it appears unlikely he will start. And just reading some things here today, Wednesday, he was officially a non-participant in Wednesday's practice. So he hasn't been ruled out yet, but they will need make a decision on that if they want to clear that spot on the roster this week. So just reading this note, it says Mike McCarthy confirmed on Wednesday that Dak Prescott will be in the rehab group meeting, meaning he's not practicing. So it by all intents and purposes, it appears he will not be playing this week against the Rams. Okay, well, then that gives him another week to get ready. And the other fortunate thing with the winning streak thus far is that it's bought the team more time in order to get Prescott healthier so they don't have to rush him back. By that, I mean when he went out in week one, we didn't know how long he would be out, and nor did they know what kind of performance Cooper Rush would provide. Now, with Cooper Rush winning, it keeps them their chances at making the playoffs that much better as the season goes on, so that there is a little bit more room. There's a little bit more margin for error until Prescott comes back. So the good thing with that is, like we said, more margin for error. The team's getting healthier. The offense is looking a little bit better. There are times, though, that they get a little too conservative, and I understand they're trying to play with a lead and not make mistakes to help their defense, but I think there's opportunities there in certain drives, particularly in the second halves of games, where they can do a little bit more on first downs. They tend to fall into this pattern of running on first down and then the old run, run, pass, and punt, which isn't the worst thing, but I think you could open up a little bit more on that, especially if you have poor field position, which they did for about half their drives in the game. But I think passing, when you're in a running formation or passing on first down, even if it's a short pass, like a short dump off as an extension of the running game, could really mix up a defense, especially if they're playing the run and they're selling out on the run, spread them out and pick up some easy yards on first down to make a more manageable second and third down. All right, so that's the going on with the Cowboys. The Texas Rangers today wrapped up their season. They finished the year at 68-94. I'd say a relatively disappointing season. That is an improvement from last year when they were 60-102. This year they had a little bit higher expectations. Then they managed to achieve that by having a better record. However, earlier this season they were talking about either a playoff appearance, a winning season, a .500 season, or thereabouts. They fell well short of that. And what I think was more disappointing, though, is the way they finished the season. In September and October, let's look at their record down the stretch, because they fired their manager, Chris Woodward, who I don't think was doing that bad of a job. T- team was under 500, but they had a little bit better winning percentage. But they really just kind of fell out of any chance at the playoffs, wild card, or a winning season or a 500 season as down the stretch under Tony Beasley. And like I said, there were two major acquisitions this past offseason. They acquired Corey Sager and Marcus Semien. Both were expected to really help improve that offense. And at times, it just wasn't there even with those two. I know Semien struggled for most of the year. And let's look at their stats, how they did this year. And just looking at this, Corey Sager, what was his? He had a batting average of 245. Semien had a batting average of 248. They both had a decent number of home runs, though. Sager had 33, Semien 26. Although both played the majority of the games, Sager in 151, Semien played in 160 games. Wow. So they didn't provide enough spark to help the rest of the lineup for the team this year. Pitching wise, it was just a little bit inconsistent as well. There were several one-loss games in the year, so they were probably a better team than their record showed. And okay, here's the record. Chris Woodward, the team was 51-63 when he was fired, and that was after 114 games. Tony Beasley finished the year at 17-31. So a little bit worse than where they were. So not much improvement there. So they look forward to 2023. We mentioned in the previous show, there is some good news in the minor leagues, at least some potential with their AA club, the Frisco Rough Riders, winning the Texas League Championship. Although they're first round pick from 2021 pitcher, Leiter, he was didn't do too well in the minors this year at five. I think he had like a 5.10 ERA. So he's going to need some improvement. And then according to the Fan 105.3 in Dallas Fort Worth, one of their reporters, Mike Bassick, who handles a former Major League Baseball player, reported that Leiter was not on a Major League schedule, meaning he wasn't pitching every fourth or fifth day. He was on, he said he was pitching every week, which is more of a college baseball or high school baseball schedule. So two things. He's going to have to improve and definitely, as suggested by Bassick at the Fan, they need the Rangers minor league in Frisco definitely needs to get Leiter onto a major league pitching schedule. Now it wasn't all bad, I suppose. Aaron Judge will hit his 62nd home run this season. At Rangers Globe Life Park yesterday. It's an exciting moment for Major League Baseball. So he broke Roger Maris's American League record. Now, we know that that's not the record for the season. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa all hit more home runs previously. But because of the extenuating circumstances with that, it's the media and many fans don't recognize that. So we'll just say Aaron Judge broke the American League record season record with 62 home runs. Exciting moment for baseball. Other moments this year, Albert Pujols, who's in his final season, in his 22nd season, by the way, hit his 700th home run just a few days ago, or I think maybe it was last week. But he finished up the season, his career, regular season career, at 703 total home runs. He became the fourth player ever to reach that. Fourth player in the history of the Major League Baseball to reach that. Very impressive. But then again, he's played 22 years. So you have to play a long time to accomplish that and stay healthy, which Albert Pujols has. All right, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will get into college football, which is actually going on right now. We'll be right back after this. Okay, welcome back to the Metroplex Sports Update. Now, this is a big weekend in the Metroplex for college football, possibly the biggest all year, well, quite probably the biggest. Let's start off with the local teams. TCU continues to stay undefeated. They had a huge win on Saturday over the Oklahoma Sooners in Fort Worth, winning 55-24. So TCU not only wins their conference opener, they stay undefeated, and they just totally dominate the one of the top teams in the conference. While SMU, they are at 2-1, but they're playing right now. They're playing on the road against UCF. The reason for this is they were scheduled to play Saturday, but the hurricane forced them to move this game. It was actually going to be played on Sunday, but it was forced to move again to today, Wednesday, and it's currently playing right now. SMU, they were leading 10-3 in the first half. Let's get a score check on that. Yep, right now they're up. Actually, they're tied now, 10-10. Second quarter with 5 minutes and 49 seconds to go in that game. As UCF just scored a touchdown to tie the game with the extra point. All right. So, like we said, TCU gets the win. And I believe UNT also won. Let's check on that. Yes, UNT won. They are 3-3. They defeated the Florida Atlantic Owls 45-28 at Apogee Stadium this past weekend. So, let's see. Yeah, so they get a conference win, and they're hanging in the conference race, hanging in there. Okay, now the big game this weekend will be in the Metroplex will be the annual Red River rivalry at the Cotton Bowl over in Fair Park. And, I mean, what can you say about this game? It's usually big. It's big in Dallas, big in Texas, and it's an old rivalry. But both teams are struggling a bit. Texas is coming off a big win over West Virginia. They won 38-20, so they are sitting at 3-2. Their quarterback, their starting quarterback, who was knocked out against Alabama, was going to try to play this week. And let's see, let's get an update on that. Quinn Ewers, he's been out the past three games. So let's try to get an update on what's going on with Ewers here. Anyways, I'm not sure yet who is starting for Texas yet. But there is an article here. It says, in his latest NIL deal, Quinn Ewers has partnered with a relatively new technology company called Metabilia for undisclosed amount to market virtual collectibles about his current and future career. Okay. It says he's expected to be available Saturday against the Sooners in the Cotton Bowl, but Coach Sarkisian has not disclosed who his starter is. Okay, well, it makes sense. Why let the opponent know at this point? So it could be Ewers starting or could be Andrew Card. Uncertain at this point. But anyways, this is a big game for both teams. Really, neither team is going to – well, the team that wins is going to be in good shape going forward in the conference race and with an outside chance at the playoffs, but it's unlikely with both teams' records. The Sooners are they're coming off a bad loss to TCU, 55-24. And the week before, they had lost at home to Kansas State. So they're reeling a bit. Also, their quarterback was knocked out against TCU. Let's get his status. Taylor Gabriel? Anyways, we'll check on that. So we're not sure if he's playing either. Oh, Dylan Gabriel. So it's uncertain who will be starting for the Sooners at quarterback. So as always, this is a great rivalry. Throw the records out. Don't matter. Although it's going to be important for both teams to win. Both teams are in dire straits when it comes to winning this game. It goes back to the rivalry goes back to 1900. Texas leads the all-time rivalry 62-50-5. Although the last four games. And let's see, this game has been played at the Cotton Bowl, I believe since, I want to say 1930, because that's when the Cotton Bowl Stadium opened. Oh, well, it's okay. The series began in 1900 and has been played in Dallas since 1912, except for 1913, 1922, and 1923. Okay, since 1932, the game has been played at the Cotton Bowl during the State Fair of Texas, and that continues to go on to today. So, big game coming up for both teams. And actually, while we have time, why don't we look at the Big 12 standings? And it's important, obviously, for both teams in this game, but these teams are going to be moving to the SEC in a few years, and they are not looking too good thus far. And right now, the Kansas Jayhawks and TCU Horned Frogs are leading. Well, actually, Kansas and Kansas State have the top conference records, both at 2-0. TCU, Oklahoma State, and Baylor, each at 1-1 conference-wise. Now, overall, Kansas is 5-0. TCU 4-0, as we mentioned. Oklahoma State 4-0. Kansas State 4-1. So some good records thus far in the Big 12, even without the without Texas and OU. Not bad. So it looks like the Big 12 is not going to miss them too much, huh, when they go to the SEC. So both teams need to get prepared going into the SEC because it's going to be brutal for them. Otherwise, it's going to be tough. So, but the Big 12 looks like it's going to be a wild scramble this year with all these teams, and then defending champion Baylor Bears, they're 1-1 in conference play right now. Now, I believe next season, and I'll check on this just as a note, four new teams will be joining the Big 12 next season. And one of them is playing right now, UCF. Let's get an update on that. Last we heard, they were going to be joining next season. Oh, yeah, here we go. So, according to... Yeah, it looks like they'll be joining the Big 12 in 2023. So next year you'll have 14 teams in the Big 12. I don't know how they're going to work the divisions, if they're going to have any. Obviously, they're not going to be able to, not every team's going to be able to play every other team in a round-robin schedule. So that'll be for a couple of years until Texas and OU move over to the SEC. All right, let's get a before we go, we'll get you a scoring update on the SMU game. SMU is now up 13-10. They kicked a field goal. Rogers' field goal is good, up 13-10 with 3:24 to go in the first half. So a big game for SMU. I believe, like I said, they're 2-1 overall. Let's check their conference. I think this is their conference opener. So it'll be good for them to get off to a good start here. Yes, this is their conference opener against. Wait a minute. Yeah, against UCF. All right, so that's all the time we have for today. We hope you can join us next time, and we'll do probably another preview later in the week on the upcoming Cowboys game. The baseball playoffs will be starting, I believe, Friday. The only Texas team will be the Houston Astros. But they won't be in the wild card round. They actually have a bye as a top seed in the American League, so they'll be playing next week. All right. Maybe the Rangers can improve next season. Remember how bad the Astros were for many years, and now look at them. So maybe the Rangers can do that. Talk to you next time. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.